Good morning. Glad to see everyone here this morning. I see that we have a few visitors. So glad that you're here. We hope and pray that you'll be with us any opportunity that you possibly have. Appreciate so much Brother Paul McCurdy's prayer this morning. I've been trying to think of an introduction to this particular sermon. I don't think I could have worded any better than Brother Paul worded his prayer this morning. We're going to look at a general topic, and we're going to start with the birth of Christ. As it is this time of year when the whole world's mind, it seems, is on the birth, this is a good time to look at that, but we're not going to just look at the birth of the Savior. We're also going to look from, as we might look at it, have you ever heard the phrase, from the cradle to the grave? That's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at Jesus from the manger to the cross. And we're going to look at both aspects and why both were necessary. But friends, I also want us to keep in mind this particular point. And as Brother Paul pointed out in his prayer, we are indeed thankful for the birth of Jesus Christ, friends, but we're thankful for the reason that we're told to commemorate His death. As we just did, as we observed the Lord's Supper, we observed that death, we commemorate that death every first day of the week. Now, He could not die and shed His blood upon the cross if He was not born. And so, yes, we're thankful for His birth. But let's look at some different aspects of this together this morning. Let's turn together in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And let's look together at verses 18 through 25. Let's look at this birth of the Savior. Beginning in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or in this manner. Whereas His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Friends, when we think about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and we think about His role and responsibility and how it was known to the Godhead even before Adam and Eve had sinned, we see the need for man's salvation. And friends, it was not hidden. It was not downgraded, but God chose to reveal it in this way. Now, listen to what both Paul and Peter said concerning Jesus. According as He hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Friends, the birth of Jesus was in the mind of God before He ever said concerning the earth and before He said anything concerning the earth and creating it, before He ever said, let there be light, the kingdom, His church, the birth of Christ was in His mind. All of this happened according to God's plan. Look at Ephesians 3 and verse 9. Paul writes to the Ephesian brethren, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Put that together with John chapter 1 and you see that Jesus Christ the Son is Jesus Christ the Word as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul wrote to Timothy, who has saved us, talking about Christ, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, notice this, before the world began. all of this was according to God's purpose and His plan. And in 1 Peter 1 and verse 20, Peter writes, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So briefly, let's examine this birth and let's look at some things concerning surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. Number one, His birth was predicted. It was predicted. It was prophesied. The birth of Jesus, as we've just been talking about, was planned. It was not an accident. It was not just something that happened by chance. Friends, this was on purpose. It's on purpose that Jesus was born of a virgin, that Mary became pregnant and gave birth to a man who grew up to be the Messiah. From the very beginning, the Godhead knew that we would need a Savior. And so they planned. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they planned for man's salvation. Now concerning a few of these prophecies, you look at Genesis chapter 3, and you just read there about the fall of man. In verse 15, you read of this first prophecy of the coming of the Savior. Genesis 3 verse 15 says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You see, friend, from the very first, from the very beginning, man had a promise that there would come one to save him. And notice that this man would be born of the seed of woman. Why is that important? Because a physical man was not going to have anything to do with it. This one would be born of the seed of woman. Friends, this is the first prophecy of the virgin birth. Of Mary conceiving in such a way. Every time that the seed is used here in reference to human, it's always used to refer to the masculine form, his seed. That's why when you read those genealogies in Matthew and Luke, it's the male that's mentioned. But concerning Jesus Christ, He would be born of a virgin. And we see several prophecies throughout the Old Testament concerning the how of His birth. In Isaiah 7 and verse 14, Isaiah says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 31 and verse 22, how long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter, for the Lord hath created a new thing in this earth, a woman shall compass a man. In Micah 5 and verse 3, we read, therefore will He give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, and the remnant of His brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. All talking about the how, the virgin birth. We're told where He would be born. In Micah 5 and verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Talking about Jesus the Christ. In John 7 and verse 42, we read, hath not the Scripture said? That Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was. So we're told concerning His birth, where it would be. There are prophecies concerning His power. In Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, we read, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And listen to His names. And His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You see it in the seed promise. In Genesis chapter 12, 2 and 3, and speaking to Abraham, God says of His seed, speaking of Thee Christ, in Thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, Jeremiah says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." And friends, it is through Christ that we are blessed. That could not happen without his birth. It was prophesied. It was predicted. Number two, it was prepared. We had a class not long ago on the fullness of time. And the preparations that God made, and the bit by bit as these things were done so that Christ could come into this earth. So that he could born. It would be the perfect time for Christ to enter the earth. And in the days of these kings, Daniel chapter 2, according to the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and the interpretation of that dream, in the days of these kings would Jesus enter into the earth. In those days of Rome, Jesus entered and he went about preaching the gospel. God prepared for his son's arrival. God protected the seed line. How many times do you read through the Old Testament and the seed line had gotten down to just a handful? For the seed of Christ to continue, or the seed of David to come on down and continue, but it survives. What about in 2 Kings chapter 11, when Joash was the last one of the throne of David, of the seed of David? His mother's trying to kill him, but he's protected. And through him would come Jesus, the Christ. He prepared, he protected not only the seed, but he prepared the world. He prophesied, he reminded, he prepared by giving the perfect situation. He put all these things together so that the gospel could go as it did. And then finally, after it was predicted, after the word was prepared, it was performed. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Jesus entered the world. We could go and we could look at some other things concerning and surrounding his birth. But friends, here's the question that we set all of that to get to. Why was he born? What was the purpose of the birth of Jesus Christ? I mean, we can go back and look at the prophecies and we can look and we can see what it is that God had in mind from that very time. When he said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 verses 2 and 3 that in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, why was Jesus born? So that we might be blessed. We go and we look at the prophecies of Isaiah concerning his death. We go and we look even here at Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25, and we see why it is that Jesus was born. Friends, he was born for one purpose. That's to save mankind. To save you. And to save me. And the only way he could do that, friend, was to go to the cross. But the remainder of our time, I want you to consider this. Jesus was born to die. Jesus was born to die. And die he did upon the cross of Calvary. Turn with me for a moment to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and read with me verses 7 through 9. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Now friends, we as Christians, we must realize that the cross of Jesus Christ is not just a symbol to be taken lightly. Have we ever really taken a long look at what the cross of Christ means? And if we have done that, friends, when's the last time that we have? As we think on the cross for the next few moments, what are your thoughts? Do we think upon the cross as an emblem of death? Do we think upon the cross as just some ornamentation that is old and worn? Do we think upon the cross as just something that represents a day long gone? Maybe there are many other things that come to mind. But I want to present to us four things. Four things concerning the cross very quickly. As we go from the manger to the cross. I want you to think about the perception of the cross. Friends, we will never know, Lord willing, we will never know the agony of the cross. We'll never feel that type of pain. We'll never have to go through the things that Jesus went through and that others in that day went through. But as we look at history and we look at the cross, friends, the cross was a symbol of execution of the most vile of criminals. Friends, God in the flesh died a death that was reserved for slaves and criminals so that you and I might have a chance at salvation. And He bore that shame. They were made public spectacles. We refer to that hill as the Hill of Calvary. It's just outside the city. As a matter of fact, you could actually see it from the city. You didn't have to be at the hill. Very public execution. The cross of shame, friends, though, as we look at it. And as we think about it, even though that cross of shame, it was a cross of shame, it is now an instrument of blessing. Jesus had that type of power to change that cross so that we could look at it as a place of blessing. He bore the shame and death, the shame of that death for all of us, 1 Peter 2:24. He bore our sins upon that cross in Hebrews 9 verse 28. He bore the curse of the cross, Galatians 3:13. How do we perceive the cross? Friends, it's much more than just some symbol of death. Because it's through that cross, through that death, that we are blessed in Christ. We see the plan of the cross. God's plan, as I said a moment ago, Jesus was born to die. God's plan from the very beginning was that Jesus die upon that cross. His plan was for Jesus to die that we might be saved. And it was set in motion before the fofoundation of the world, Ephesians 3, 9 through 11. And that plan was fulfilled there at Golgotha by the death of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1 verse 4. He died that I might live. That you might live. You think of that person on the cross, of Jesus. Who was Jesus? Who was this Jesus that died upon the cross? Well, for starters, He's the one that took my stead. He's the one that died there instead of me. He is the Son of God. John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the firstborn from the dead. Colossians 1, beginning of verse 15. Were there others that had risen from the dead before? Well, yeah. You remember Elisha is dead and gone, and he's been buried, and this army is marching through, and one of theirs dies from exhaustion and exposure to the elements. They throw him in there with Elisha. He touches his bones. He rises again from the dead. Elijah raised the widow's son, right? Jesus raised some from the dead while he walked upon the earth. So what's the difference when Jesus rose the third day and of all, between him and all these others? Friends, none of those others rose of their own power. And so he was the first one. The first fruit of the dead. Firstborn of the dead. He is the one who with the word created all that is and was. He is God in the flesh. He is the example that I should follow. Friends, he is the Savior of the world. Without him we have no hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And friends, he is the one upon whom the church is built. Ephesians 2 and verse 20. Jesus is all of those things. And it's through him that we have the blessing and the blessing of salvation. Think about the price of the cross for just a moment. And as we think about Jesus as he was born to die, you think about all the things that this man suffered. You read through the book of Matthew, and especially you look at the book of Luke, as Luke was a doctor, and he describes in detail the things that Jesus suffered. And everything that came upon him, friends, we cannot look at the cross with eyes of ignorance any longer. You think of the shame of the cross, and the Bible tells us time and again that he despised the shame. That is, he went to the cross in spite of the shame. You think of the sacrifice. As he is our high priest, he is also that sacrifice. Once for all made before the throne of God, he is the Savior of mankind. But friends, he bore that cross that we might live. When we truly realize what God has done for us, what he did for us, will we take up our cross daily as we are called upon to do? Friends, as the entire world is focused upon the birth of Christ, let us remember that that baby grew up. That he preached repentance, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. That he died upon the cross and he rose again the third day so that that kingdom could be established upon the day of Pentecost, as we read in Acts chapter 2. And friends, that church was established so that those that would be saved could be added to it and find that place of safety. Could be added to his kingdom. From the manger to the cross, Jesus was, is, and ever will be the Savior of mankind. He gave his life as a gift, as a ransom for you. As we put away our Bibles, and we take out our psalm books, let me ask you, my friend, what will you do with that gift? Are you here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Having never come in contact with that blood that he shed upon the cross? You see, friend, he told us in Matthew 28, verse 19, as he is giving the great commission to the disciples, to the apostles, that they were to go into all the world. and take the gospel to every creature, as you look also at Mark 16, 15, and 16. That whosoever believeth in him and was baptized should not perish, but rather be saved. But those that believed not would be condemned. So friend, if you're here this morning, have you never been baptized for the remission of your sins? Have you never come in contact with that blood? Why not this morning put Christ on in baptism? Why not this morning, friend, become a Christian? Become a follower of the Savior, of the one who died for your sins. Friend, if you're here this morning having put Christ on in baptism, where do you stand right now? If Jesus were to return today, where would your name be? Would it be crossed out? Or would it still be found there in the book of life? Friend, if you have a need, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, come right now while we stand and while we sing.